Welcome to The Empathetic Man. My name is Sethi Hillier, and I'm joined with Nimesh Gupta, and together we are going to help explore how you as a man can be more empathetic. Each week, we are going to dive into a topic that may relate to your relationship with your spouse, your kids, or just life in general. We are looking forward to your engagement and your feedback, so let us know through your comments what other questions we can tackle, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Hey, y'all. It's Sethi and Nimesh back here with The Empathetic Man. And this is kind of part two to a discussion we had from last week. And just to kind of refresh your recollection, I experienced an incident where I was in a text thread with an all-white male group. And I had kind of expressed some vulnerability on my end. And that vulnerability just kind of went unnoticed and unacknowledged. And when I addressed it, a few folks on the text thread did reach out, and I spoke about some of those reach outs last week. And I just wanted to close the loop on what ended up happening. And then the second piece being, you know, given now that we are, you know, we're recording this, June 10th, and last week was kind of a heavy week in that it was for the first time we saw just massive protests and just kind of overall general acknowledgement from folks, white folks specifically on social media, acknowledging that they have to change. So just to close the loop, after a few folks had reached out, which I spoke about last podcast, a few other folks ended up sending just kind of high level texts. So one person said, "Hey, you know, thank you for being vulnerable." Another person said, "Hey, it took, it was very courageous what you did. I appreciate that." And then the last person said, "Let's get on a Zoom call this weekend to chat about it. Sorry for not taking it into consideration." And that last person was the person, I think, when I really thought about it, was who kind of catalyzed my frustration around this, because that individual was the person who kind of went down the text thread and liked, tap back emoji on an iMessage thread, all the responses except for mine. So now it's, it's Wednesday the following week, and the last comment was made Thursday of last week in terms of, "Hey, let's jump on a Zoom," and nothing happened. So no one followed up. I don't think I was supposed to follow up. I kind of just waited to see if anyone would, but no one did. And for me, you know, it was a bit disappointing, but at the end of the day, I really kind of stepped back and said, "Look, what am I really expecting here?" Right? Forget this particular text thread. And I was able to give some thought into it, and I kind of came up with the following, where, and this is kind of piggybacking off of what Barack Obama said when he addressed the nation last week as well.
And so, can I just clarify? So you're saying that you had responses from everybody, and then one in particular said, "Hey, let's have a Zoom over the weekend." And are you saying that that didn't happen?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, correct. So, what that ended up, and I'd love your thoughts on that after I'm finished with this, but, actually let's pause right there, because I think the second part's going to be learnings, but what's your kind of take on that?
Yeah. And again, I didn't want to interrupt, but I also wanted to just make sure I kind of was hearing everything right. And yeah, that is kind of odd to me, because then it feels like, was that person just kind of paying lip service? Are they just saying something for the sake of saying something? And I don't by means feel like now that was on you to be like, "Hey man, so it's Saturday. When do you want to have this Zoom?" I would have kind of, expected that person to be like, "Hey, following up, when's a good time for you to chat this weekend?" and then have it. So the fact that that hasn't happened, and again, now it's, Wednesday, and that happened last Thursday. So, close to a week has transpired, and you haven't even gotten like a, "Hey, sorry, this weekend was crazy. Can we still find some time to chat?" That is odd. And it kind of makes me feel like, I think a lot of this is still happening with a lot of people where they're like, okay, in the moment, it's a big thing. Let me acknowledge the elephant in the room. But when it comes to actually executing and doing something about it, that's a little bit more effort than I'm willing to do right now. And I got other stuff on my plate. So, you know, I don't want to criticize anyone, but that I guess was a little unfortunate from what I'm hearing, that, you know, you'd put something out there. There was an impression that they gave off that perhaps they didn't mean to give off. There was an opportunity to clarify it, and yet that didn't happen. That clarification didn't happen, which to me, and maybe this is what you'll go through in your next part, is that clarification is the most critical thing right now, because without it, nothing is going to improve.
Totally. And, you know, I think for me, it was an emotionally kind of heavy event too, just because it kind of proved what I deep down thought was the obvious, which is kind of what you just articulated, where a lot of this is a short-term thing, right? Like, there's open acknowledgement to say, hey, like, you know, I'm sorry, but there isn't follow through. And if there isn't follow through, how are things going to really change? And the second part is, are those folks that are playing lip service, do they intentionally even mean to change? Are they remorseful? And that's something that I'm trying to figure out as well, where it's like, you know, is it one thing that people are remorseful, but they just don't know what to do because they've never been in that particular situation? Or is it that they're not remorseful? Because I do see a lot of folks, you know, white folks specifically saying, hey, like, my family and I are going away this weekend and we're going to have the hard conversations. And it's like, I think that's, you know, that's good in theory, but that's praiseworthy in theory. But if you don't have someone else's perspective, how can you really change?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. And I would ask that person, what is the hard question? What is the hard discussion? It kind of feels like a vague term. And it also feels like in isolation, you know, it's kind of like that saying, you know, if a tree falls in a forest and no one's there to see it or hear it, did it really happen? And again, you want to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I don't know, like if somebody told me like, yeah, you know, my family and I went away this weekend to have a hard discussion on what's going on, I would definitely be interested. I'd be like, oh, yeah, like, what did you guys talk about? Like, what was the, you know, conclusion? Because, you know, I think right now people do need to be more transparent. At least that's kind of the way I'm seeing it right now.
Yeah, totally. And this kind of is a good segue into my first kind of learning point on this, which is people, and Barack Obama said this specifically to Black people. He told Black people in general, he's like, look, you matter, right? And at the end of the day, everyone wants to feel like they matter, right? And the next question is, okay, well, how do you make someone feel like they matter? The way, in my opinion, you make someone feel like they matter is to make them feel like they've been heard. And then the next line is, okay, well, how do you make someone feel like they're heard? And the answer, in my opinion, is you actually hear them out. But the caveat there is you have to know when to hear them out. In other words, what I feel is happening is, and this is kind of what happened to me, I expressed vulnerability and there wasn't, I don't know if it's empathy. I don't know what that particular emotion is, but there wasn't any type of effort, or it wasn't effort, but it, people just didn't know that I actually wanted to be heard out. And you don't have to agree with that person, but you have to hear them out. So again, like, in order to matter, you need to feel heard. In order to be heard, you need someone to hear you out. And in order for that person to hear you out, they need to know that you want to be heard out. And they don't have to agree with you, but they need to acknowledge that you want to be heard and hear you out. And I think that's a very, very, like, it's a very solution-driven way to, I think, start going in the right direction of actual progress. What do you think about that, and just kind of generally what you've learned?
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with kind of what you said about, you know, feeling that desire to matter. I think that's just a fundamental thing that everybody wants. I think because humans are so social, you know, being able to connect with people, and then through that connection, having some sort of importance. You know, you don't need to be the leader, but even if you're the follower, you're a follower that matters. And I think that's really important. And I think that's in our DNA. And when that's not there, I think it causes a lot of issues, right? I mean, that's why you hear about, like, when people are lonely, that immediately becomes depression, which can then turn into like suicidal things, et cetera. And, you know, that's a whole other topic, but yeah, fundamentally, like, I'm 100% aligned to that. And I do think in terms of how you make someone matter, you know, I would say probably the easiest thing you could do is hear them out. I feel like what is happening in this current situation is you can't even be heard if you don't have a seat at the table. You can't even be heard if you're not even invited into the conversation. And I feel like what's happening with a lot of white people who are having these conversations or who are talking about this problem is they're talking about it and they're not including the people who need to be in the room so that they can be heard. And, you know, yeah, it's one thing to be like, okay, well, I listened to, you know, George Floyd's brother, you know, have like this, you know, moving speech about how he felt. And because of what I heard, I'm going to now stew on it and I'm going to come up with a conclusion. That to me is just like, kind of like a slap in the face. It's like, wait a minute. I wasn't trying to give you like some sort of script to follow and then come back with an answer. This is me telling you like, hey man, this is like some fucked up shit and it needs to stop. And in order for it to be stopped, like, you know, we need to be all on the same playing field, all at the same starting line. And we need to discuss this. And that means you have to discuss it with me, you know? And I think that me is whoever it is, right? For the nation, it was George Floyd and that kind of the figure. But you could be like, you know, in your neighborhood, and that could be whomever in the neighborhood feels like they're not being heard. Like those African-American neighbors that have just been silently kind of going along. And so, I totally agree that it's all about making people feel like they matter, making people feel like they're being heard. I feel like the disconnect that we're still facing is we're not even allowing, or they're not being invited into the conversation. So I feel like that's where, you know, it's kind of now being negated. And I think if I was to take it back to kind of what happened with the text message exchange, you know, again, through text, things were being said, and then you kind of voiced your opinion. Some people responded. Who knows? Maybe some of them had kind of talked offline and said, okay, yeah, you know what Nimesh said? I get it. I hear where he's coming from. Yeah, you know, I'm going to send him a response back saying, I get it. But that conversation happened without you, and you didn't hear them maybe coming to clarity. So in your mind, you're just like, these guys don't even get it. You know what I mean? And so it's like, it's as if it's really like, it's like this thing where we're moving down this freeway and we're in different lanes, but we don't even see each other because there's a wall between our lanes. And it's like, imagine how difficult that would be if that was the way freeways were. No, but it's like, they're not. Like, you have to be able to see like on your side to side. And I feel like that's what's not happening.
You know, it's interesting. That's a really good point. And even in my situation, it's like, I arguably was at the table because I was in this text message. But to your point, when the actual conversations were being had, which probably took place offline, I wasn't in there. And I think to drill into that further, why is that happening? I think the reason it's happening is because I think that this topic is so sensitive. Like, let's play this out, right? Like, say I was there when that conversation was happening, but these folks were still trying to figure out their opinion. And do you think it's a matter of them not wanting their real thought process to come out, that they're not having it in front of that person?
I think it's, you know, I think it's a couple of things. I think it could be definitely that, where they're still trying to process it, and maybe through them processing it out loud, something may come out that could become even more, you know, argumentative. And then they just feel like, you know, like, that's not what I'm trying to say. And I think we all know sometimes communicating your feelings is not easy to do, because you think one thing, but then trying to figure out the way to say it may come off another way. And I think this is why, like, you know, husbands and wives are constantly, you know, arguing with each other, because, you know, I think generally it's like, I want to take care of you. That's why I married you. Or you want to take care of me, vice versa. But then we start to communicate and it's just like, you're not understanding what I'm saying. So I don't think that is something that is only like isolated to those types of relationships. I think it's to everybody. And I think when then the topic gets really sensitive, where it is something that maybe people have been skating around for decades, centuries, or longer, I think people get kind of afraid. And I think when people get afraid, it just creates this kind of, well, I'll kind of acknowledge it and I'll try my best to kind of not be part of the problem, but I don't want to really interact in the discussion because it can get too difficult, right? Like, just, it's like, you know, I think, and I'm not saying this is the same, but it's like when they'll tell you, you know, like, you don't want to talk about religion or you don't want to talk about politics with like certain people or in certain situations, because it can start to get really heavy. And I think this is one of these topics where, you know, I could see that happening. And then I think people just are uncomfortable being uncomfortable. And so because of that, they'd rather just, you know, send like a blanket statement and just kind of move on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things where, again, just to tie it back to kind of what I'm trying to learn is, I want to make an active effort. And a lot of this just comes back to my kid, right? Like, I've always said, one thing I want for my child is to be able to uncover, you know, his superpower. And now, you know, in my case, my baby girl, who's 6-7 months, but too young for this. So I'm just referring to my son, where I want to make sure that I uncover his superpower. But also what this has taught me is I want to make sure that he feels like that he matters, right? That, like, at any given time that he feels like he is being heard, but also to understand that that doesn't mean that he's going to be agreed with. And I think the thing that I'm still trying to work through is, and it's just not specific to me, is what gets people over this hurdle where I could see someone's position in that text thread saying, well, look, I didn't know Nimesh, like, I didn't know that he wanted to talk about this more. You know, he said what he said, and he didn't necessarily say that, you know, here's what I went through, I'd like to talk about it. So on one hand, the whole kind of mind reader defense can come in where it's like, look, I'm not a mind reader. I didn't know to do this. But how do you teach someone that when a Black person, for example, talks about, you know, growing up under very, very challenging circumstances, or, you know, any number of things that you're at least that at least triggers something in your mind to at least indicate to that person, not out of pity, but hey, like, wow, that seems really challenging. Did you want to talk about that? You know, I'd love to hear more. And I don't know if I have hope that bridge will be kind of like, yeah, that gap, if you will be bridged. If that makes sense.
It does. And I think what you're kind of talking about is awareness, right? You have this dialogue and something is said, and then there is that awareness on your end where it's like, hey, like, wow, man, that sounds really that sounds really tough. Right. And then there's a kind of like that empathetic response, like, tell me about it. Like, how did you feel? Like, how did it play out? And again, I think it's just something that you kind of have to like practice. Right. And I feel like if you're not doing it a lot, you're not going to do it, you know, in those moments where everyone else in the room is like, man, how come you're not getting this? And it is unfortunate because it's just one of those things where you can tell people, hey man, you should be more self-aware, or you should be more like aware of the surroundings and more like, you know, empathetic and this and that. And you can keep telling people all day long. Like, we can keep, like, that's what's happening right now. Like, all these like news channels, like all these people are saying, like, you know, this is what you should be doing. Like, you should be, you know, like hearing us out. You should be treating us fairly, right? There's this whole thing right now about how, like, you know, HBO is taking off Gone with the Wind from their playlist, because, you know, they're saying it's, you know, that's insensitive because of some of the scenes in the movie. And then, like, there's these interviewing various kind of black individuals saying, hey, what do you think about that? And I think maybe in the mind of a maybe white American, they're like, hey, you know what, like, we hear you and we're going to do this to help you out. And then there's people are like I don't, that's not doing anything. Like, why would you do that? Like that's not the problem. The problem isn't like banning movies that show like insensitive things. I mean, that movie was made in the 30s. Like, life was different then. So they were kind of depicting that story. What we really want to talk about is A, B, C, and D. And so I feel like it's just about, but you won't know that unless you have that dialogue. And again, I think people can try and make an effort to do better and be better. But unless you know what you're doing is really helping that person, to that person, they may feel like you're not really being better. You're not really doing better. So, I think going back to kind of you and kind of like the role you're setting for your kids, I think that's awesome, because I don't think they're going to learn any other way unless they keep seeing it and they keep seeing what, you know, dad and mom are doing and how they approach these types of situations. Now, granted, at 2 years old or, you know, 6, 7 months old, they're not even fathoming what's going on right now. And, you know, we're even trying to like talk to our kids about this, and we're trying to help them understand, like, you know, even at just like the most physical level, we're saying, okay, you look at me and you look at your mom, besides, you know, your mom being a woman and me being a man, you know, what other differences do you see, you know, with, for instance, like the color of our skin? And then it's like, oh, well, daddy, you're darker than mommy. And it's like, well, did you know that's all comes down to like melanin, which is essentially just this like, you know, thing in your body that just indicates like the color of your darkness. But other than that, you know, mommy and daddy are pretty much the same. Like, we both have bones, we both have arms, this blah, 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 blah. And, you know, like, it's like, you know, like my brother, for instance, has darker skin than I do. And, you know, and so like, we're trying to help them understand, like, literally it's just the pigment of your skin, and it's nothing having to do with the definition of your character. But you know, and we can only go so far, but I think it's just through these types of conversations, this type of, you know, demonstration of how you live your life, I think that will help. And you know, for the folks who are older, like all the white Americans who are older, who are now having to make these adjustments, I'm not gonna lie, like, it's gonna be really hard, because you're trying to break 20, 30, 50, you know, years or more of habits that aren't core to who you are.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting, just to kind of add another point based on what you were saying about just kind of being in the room. I could see why, even in the corporate context, there's this push toward including at least one minority on a company's board, or at least, you know, one woman on a company's board, because at the end of the day, you can only have so much perspective, right? And other folks that come from different ends of the spectrum from you have their own amazing viewpoints. And it kind of just, the second lesson, I guess, for me that it makes me learn is, like, just constantly being, you know, look, they say that you are kind of like the five people that you associate with the most, right? And I think there can be that level of comfort where you just kind of go to, you know, the family member, and that should always be there. But I just think this is at least a lesson for me, where you want to be expanding your network as much as possible to include folks that are not necessarily the same thing as you. And it's same as you. And it, you know, may even just be beyond race, right? Like, look, we are like, you know, venture-backed C-Corp founders, right? If all we do is talk to other venture-backed C-Corp founders, we're limiting ourselves in terms of how much we can actually expand, right? Whereas if we, you know, include, at least in a business context, you know, I've been talking to my college roommate who studied engineering with me quite a bit lately, and he owns several subways in the Sacramento area, and he provides me this perspective of small businesses. And I've just seen through just very minimal conversations with him, how much more I've learned and how much more my mindset has been kind of expanded. So I think that's a second part to me, in addition to making sure that you hear folks out, that I've learned from this. I don't know if you want to end with any closing thoughts or lessons that you've learned.
Yeah, I mean, that last point you bring up about inclusion, I think is just so important, right? You know, it's there's like this saying, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's like diversity is inviting other people to the party. Inclusion is asking them to dance.
Interesting.
It's like taking it one step further. And I think that's like so important, because you're right. Like at Salesforce, and I always kind of talk about them because I came from there, but I also, you know, still monitor what they do. Like I always kind of felt like they had this kind of forward thinking approach on not just their technology and their business model and their philanthropic model, but also like the way they kind of built their organization. And, you know, one of the things that they ended up doing over the last few years is building like this, you know, ethics committee and like this diversity and, you know, gender neutral kind of like team. And they have like this chief, I can't remember the title, like not chief people officer, but chief maybe like equality officer maybe. And this person who happens to be African American is kind of like leading the charge. And I think a lot of it was about like, hey, we can't be having these isolated conversations without a representation from various groups, whether it's African Americans or, you know, LGBT or, you know, whomever kind of is missing from that dialogue. And I think that's really important. And I think it's not necessarily easy, right? Because, you know, sometimes you're in a company where you don't have those people. And, you know, I think that's one thing where hopefully through a lot of this, people will start to just expand their mind, right? And think about, well, yeah, if I'm looking to hire someone, I don't need to just keep cloning so-and-so. I need to be able to think about who else out there I can tap into. Because as you mentioned, they're going to have a perspective that is not just going to help expand the organization, but it's also going to help, you know, create a more, you know, just inclusive environment. And so, yeah, I think what you talked about at the beginning, you know, mattering, being heard, but also making sure that that person's in the room, that inclusion, I think they go hand in hand. And I think that's where you start to create the best outcomes, like personally, community, right? Which I think is right now the most critical thing. Like, how do we improve this social contract, this community contract that we created? We need to be more inclusive. And I'll just kind of say it an aside, one of the things that I'm trying to do right now personally is, you know, I'm using Nextdoor as a platform to engage my neighbors, ones who have never met. And I'm trying to figure out, hey, how do we take these words and turn them into actions? And I don't have I can't meet with all of you, and I can't, you know, do especially meetups right now while we're still struggling with the coronavirus, but let's capture some ideas. And it's been amazing. Like, you know, in the last week or so, I've gotten probably like close to 100 different comments from various different neighbors telling me like, you know, these are two or three things that I think we should start to do. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to start to collect them all and kind of organize it based on themes and put together maybe some like a recommendation or some suggestions of like top 5 or 10, like actionable things that we can do. Like, again, if you're going to have a meeting and you want to talk about A, B, C, and D, let's make sure we've included people from the community that represent the various stakeholders. And, you know, it's exciting because I feel like it's our opportunity to really, again, not just make change today, but also be a role model to the youth, to the kids, to my kids, so that they can start to see like, we can resolve this. We can get past it and be better. And I think right now, you know, I think America is being seen as kind of this, you know, this country that is like moving backwards. And I believe we can reset that. But I think it's gonna, you know, it's gonna take what you talked about, right? Being able to hear people, being able to include people, and then being able to be actionable, right? Be intentional with the things that we talk about, and not just paying lip service. Because like you personally felt, right? Like you had this expression, you had this experience last week, and you didn't really see the outcome. And, you know, I think it's okay that you can move on, but I think there's also a part of you that was, you know, probably disappointed and be like, I don't feel like they really got it. And I feel like that is what a lot of people are still feeling today.
Yeah. Well, first off, that's really cool, man, the Next Door Initiative. And I think that what's even cooler is, what is the associated action? And I think you and I have always spoken about this in a business context, and what we kind of started our business over, where it's like, you want to be solution driven, right? It's easy to bring a problem to the table, but what is the solution? And if you don't have a solution, at least acknowledge that you don't, but have a few ideas around, hey, this is what I'm thinking. What do you think? Let's collaborate, figure out what the best solution we think is and go forward. And I think the second part in terms of turning this feedback into actions is amazing, right? Because at the end of the day, like, some people are just, and it's not their inability not to connect the dots, it's just such an emotionally driven conversation, right? And what I'm realizing is, regardless of your IQ level or even EQ level for that matter, and this is kind of one way I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt to this other group, it's like, I know it's an emotionally charged time, and sometimes it just takes someone to really connect the dots for you, right? Like, take this in this Next Door kind of thread, right? Like, so many things people are saying, it's probably taking so much in them to say what they're saying to different levels, right? Some may be expressing vulnerability, some may be, you know, there's such emotion going into it. But I think turning it into actions, like you said, look, if you have a meeting and it involves these types of issues, make sure that there's representation from those particular areas. I think that's awesome. That's really cool.
Cool, man. Thanks. I appreciate that. And yeah, I feel like, you know, in life, like, we face challenges, some greater than others, but I feel like it's through those challenges that we can change. And so I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what happens here. But I do also want to acknowledge, especially to, you know, all of our kind of Black brothers and sisters, like, man, like, I see that you're not being heard, and I hope I can personally, you know, make a better effort to, you know, have you included, because you should be included, and we should all be treated at the same level, because right now that's not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with that sentiment. Cool. I think that's a great way to end it.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you guys next time.
And that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening all the way till the end of today's episode. We hope you enjoyed The Empathetic Man. Our goal is to help you on your journey to become more empathetic and ultimately become the best version of yourself. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to share it with your family, your friends, your network, anyone who you think is looking to become more empathetic. They can be a man, woman, it doesn't matter. The goal here is to help the world be more empathetic, one step at a time. Now, we would also love your feedback. If you can, give us your feedback on the Apple iTunes. You can give us your comments, as well as you can rate this podcast. That way we can get more viewers and more people thinking about how they can become more empathetic. Thank you again so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.